Who cares about my memories right now? I need to know if Ten will pull through. She must. What's the worst that can happen? She dies, causing me to die. So what? I'll be reborn. Doubt immediately flickers. What if Ten is right? What if I'm not reborn, but a prisoner of many ends? Why do Myriadians go to many ends and Troikens enter into the rest? The shadows sink their claws deeper into my mind, hiding the answer from me. With a snarl, I slam my fists into my temples, attempting to dislodge the block, failing. The throbbing pain in my hands eases, at least, and my jaw aligns.
She's responding,
Dawn says, her tone now as bubbly as champagne.
She's going to be okay.
Cheers ring out. Everyone hugs everyone else. I'm Ten's husband, but I'm not her family, nor am I a part of this celebration. As always, I'm an outsider looking in, and that's the way I like it. Can't forget, I'm better off on my own. So why do I feel like a fire poker is being shoved through my ribcage? Easy answer. The mana must not have healed the bulk of Ten's wounds.
Where's Reed?
She asks as she sits up. Silence. The others look at themselves, clearly trying to decide what to tell her. I strain my eyes to look past other people's limbs, think I see her profile. She appears strong, steady.
Where is Reed?
She asks again.
Tell me.
General John took him, I say. She deserves the truth. Deacon slants me a death glare. What? Rip the bandage, TL, before she rips you apart. John hasn't listed his demands yet, but we can guess what he wants. Control over me, and therefore you. Her shoulders droop.
You guys aren't the only ones with bad news. Nico is... Well, there's no easy way to tell you he's dead. He attacked me, desperate to violate his covenant so he could defect to Myriad without the hassle of a trial. He wanted to be with Victor, and I just... I'm sorry.
Archer scrubs a hand down his face. I'm sorry. I should have seen my brother's evil heart. I know him better than most. I thought I did. I should have stopped him before I died. I've lost track of Ten, the other's movements keeping her well hidden until she reaches out to twine her fingers with Archer's, offering comfort. Hell no! If realm covenants can be broken without court, marriage covenants can be broken without court. Has she decided Archer is the better man for her? Look at me. My heart projects the command directly at Ten without permission from my mind. My Troikan side needs her within sight now. To my relief, she stands and pushes through the crowd, leaving the severed hand on the floor, out of my reach. Her gaze seeks mine. Everyone's gaze seeks mine. The color has returned to her cheeks, her skin luminous. My hands itch to hold her, almost as if they remember her softness, even though I do not. My Myriadian side says, "Reveal nothing." I force a yawn. She takes a step toward me, stops. Head high, she asks,
"Have I starred in any new memories?"
In an effort to drag a reaction from her, I pucker my lips as if I just tasted a lemon. She's taken a page from my book, her tone neutral, disguising her emotions. Tables turned. It sucks. The pulse in her neck pounds, with nervousness at what I might have recalled. Success. Only our tattoos, I reply. 1, 4, 3, 10. I love you, Ten. The tattoos and the reason for them changed nothing. Hurt sizzles the bond, and my guilt flares. Biscuit trots to her and shoves his nose where the sun doesn't shine, probably hoping to lighten the mood. Yelping, she jumps away. The dog grins and licks her hand. All right, fine. I admit it. I like him.
Got you a present?
Tenley tosses my ring through the cage bars, the one Seamus stole. I catch it, the sight and feel of it comforting me on a level I don't quite understand.
Try to take better care of it this time.
What I think she means, take better care of my heart. My guilt magnifies. I will not thank you. Shrug. She removes the wrist cuffs and tosses those through the bars as well. I reel. She's not just releasing me. She's arming me. Go, she tells the others, her gaze never straying from me. Work with the generals. Save Reed. Protests erupt as I strap the cuffs in place. Only Biscuit remains silent. You guys have to turn your backs on me, she says. There's no other way. Tell the generals absolutely everything they want to know.
The princess will help Ronan cleanse the abrogates and save Sloane.
He's going to need more light than I can give him.
New protests ring out. I'll go with Ronan, Deacon says. I'll watch over Sloane. Ten nods.
I'll free Killian and we'll be long gone before they can stop us. Mostly, I'd rather you were as far away from us as possible. If Killian were to hurt one of you.
All of you, I correct. Her eyes narrow, the first sign of trouble.
I'd have to hurt him, which would in turn hurt me.
There's no way I'll betray you, Archer says, lifting his chin. Not now, not ever.
You're not betraying me,
she replies.
You're helping me.
And now you're irritating me. Their easy camaraderie irritates me. As my wife, she should banter with me, and only me. Archer rubs the back of his neck. Killian could evade you and turn his sights to the destruction of the realm.
Yes, he's told me.
She smiles at me slowly, coldly.
But he is as bound to Troika as he is to me. He might fight the connection, but it's there. Hurting our realm will weaken him, and he will never purposely weaken himself.
She isn't wrong. Frustration mounts. All right, new plan. Escape without harming Troika. Return to Myriad with 10. Find a way to break our bond. Give her to Ambrosine. Receive a promotion. Different pangs raise my chest. First guilt, then remorse, finally loss. Ignore, focus on the prize. Maybe when all of this is over, I'll enjoy my life for once. Or hate myself more than ever. Don't go, Deacon says. You'll be on your own in Myriad, surrounded by the enemy. I doubt you'll escape. What are we supposed to tell your brother then, huh? I bite my cheek to stifle a snarl. He's trying to manipulate her. I know because I've often done the same thing to others.
Someone has to stand in the gap, she says. For those who won't or can't, so you'll tell Jeremy I love him.
Tears fill her eyes, but she blinks them away.
That I died fighting for what I believe in, peace and salvation for the damned. You'll tell him I regret nothing.
Her words shut down any other protests. She hugs Clay, Ron, and Don, and Deacon, then Archer. His hug lasts seconds longer. I'm grinding my molars all over again. Jealousy has never been part of my playbook, and I'm not sure how to deal. Well, besides killing Archer. The idea has merit. Should have struck while I had the chance. Ten would never forgive me, of course, so even if I continued to want her, I'd never be able to have her. Two birds, one stone, or a dagger. Finally, everyone but Ten and Biscuit takes off. The dog hangs back, determined to stick to her side.
Protect my friends while I'm gone.
Nope. Sorry. Where you go, I go. His tone is petulant. How quickly the dog is bonded to her. I bite my cheek until I taste blood. How quickly I bonded to her. Frowning, Ten presses a hand against her cheek.
Please,
she says to Biscuit.
I'm begging you.
I jerk with astonishment. Begging. She's begging. Has no concept of the damage she's doing to her pride. I want to close my eyes, cover my ears. For a moment, my chest feels as if acid has been poured inside.
You're so strong, Biscuit,
she adds.
You can protect my friends while I'm away, please. I need them protected.
A pause, then a sigh. Fine, I'll do it. But you had better return, or I'll go digging for bones inside your friends. He presses a paw against her before running out the door. With a sigh of her own, Ten picks up the general's severed hand. Steps slow, a bit unsure, she approaches my cage. "Shall we bargain for my freedom?" I ask before she can speak. She has conditions for my release, no doubt. If I seem eager to participate, she'll be more likely to believe I'll keep my word.
"No,"
she says with a shake of her head.
"I can't trust you to keep your word."
Ouch. She's not the first to say so, but she's the first I'm unwilling to charm out of her pique. An action that has always proven necessary in order to win spirits for Myriad. Necessary and annoying. Being free to act like myself is, well, freeing. "You're right," I say. "You can't trust me.
Right now, the only things you need to know about me are, I always tell the truth and I never threaten, I promise."
"So you've told me."
"I know, but with your memory problems, a girl can't be too careful, so here's how this is gonna go."
"Do tell." I make a sweeping gesture with my hand, a royal prince demanding more information. I like this side of her, bossy and prickly, but also vulnerable.
"I'll let you out. As we travel through Troika, you'll stick to my side like glue, or I'll shoot you and drag you to Myriad. There, I'll prove many ends is connected. We'll kill your second king and save everyone. We'll find your mother and my friend Marlo. We'll free your friend Erica. Not too long ago, you told me she had been locked in the kennels."
Erica Morales, one of my flankers. She aided me when I asked, putting her eternal future at risk. I owe her. I gulp as anticipation goes head to head with dread. If Ten is right, and many ends is connected to Myriad, my mother has been tortured every year of my life. Rescuing her will be priority one. I'll need Ten's help. But helping Ten means betraying my king, a man I greatly admire. Ambergene is the epitome of power, beyond ruthless, savage when necessary, and yet he took a chance on me when no others were willing. Every time I've won a new soul for our realm, he's praised me, given me boons. Once I asked for the head of the Myriadian general who tortured me as a child and made me beg for every scrap of food, even beg for beatings I didn't want. My body shudders. It amused him to break my spirit, I suppose. While the second king refused to grant that particular wish, he did grant me time with the general. Time to meet vengeance. He begged me for mercy I refused to show. I can't betray my king, not even to save my mother, not even to save Ten. "What happens if I betray you the moment we're inside Myriad?" "Heed my warning, beautiful girl. It's the only one I'll give." Her shoulders wilt a little.
"Let's deal with one problem at a time."
Troika. From J_B_3/19.23.4. 2. T_L_2/23.43.2. Subject. "Do not make me harm your friend." "Miss Lockwood, as you know, I have captured Reed Hainsworth. I also have Kayla Brooks in my possession. We had to drag her out of her sickbed, but desperate times. I assure you, I don't want to harm the two. Violence is never my first choice. Over the centuries, I have learned to make hard choices and do what needs doing for the good of the people. Mr. Hainsworth and Miss Brooks will be released the moment you turn yourself in. You will stand before a jury of your peers and explain your actions these past few days. You will accept punishment, whatever it is, and help us cleanse the humans infected with... well, there's no need for me to say the word. You know it. Until each of my requirements have been met, I will harm your friends. Light brings sight. General John Blake."
Troika. from T_L_2/23.43.2. 2. J_B_3/19.23.4. Subject. You don't know me very well. Dear General Blake, when it comes to saving the humans infected by Penumbra, we're of the same mind. Although I'm not afraid to say the P word. Penumbra. Penumbra. We are stronger than the disease. Let's act like it. BTW, you have a new conduit in your midst. He can cleanse the abrogates in the warehouse. Yes, I said he. Ronan Ahrens. He's ready to be of service. The princess can help him the way she once helped me. And before you wonder if this is really 10 Lockwood talking/typing, don't. At one time, delegating work would have been the equivalent of stabbing myself in the heart. Now, not so much. I know my people, and they are spectacular. You can break Reed's and Kayla's bodies, but not their spirits, or mine. Even if you hurt my friends, you will not change my mind. However, you will darken your soul. The concept is found in our Book of the Law. I suggest an immediate reread. If you harm your own people, you are no better than the Myriadians you fight. Face it, your plan has been rendered moot. I'm leaving Troika today, entering Myriad, and many ends. Don't worry about Killian. He's going with me. In fact, by the time you read this message, he and I will both be gone. I'm led by 3 things, General. Loyalty to my realm, passion for the truth, and liberty for all. You will not stop me. Light brings sight. Conduit and architect. 10 Lockwood.
Troika. From J_B_3/19.23.4. 2. T_L_2/23.43.2. Subject. You put yourself in danger. And all of us. Architect. Never heard of it. As for Mr. Ahrens, what you want me to believe is impossible. A laborer cannot become a conduit. Leave this realm, and I will break one bone in one of your friends' bodies every day that you are gone. Actions have consequences, Miss Lockwood. Light brings sight. General John Blake.
Part 2. Myriad. Troika. From A_P_5/23.43.2 to T_L_2/23.43.2. Subject. Guess what? Per your orders, when did you become so bossy anyway? We told the generals about your plan to free the spirits in many ends. They're pretty sure you're going to die, but we have faith in you. Also, Biscuit rocks. He rallied Reed's and Kayla's guardians, a parrot and a mountain lion, and bingo bango, they rescued Reed and Kayla. Can I keep the dog, Mom? Huh? Huh? Please, can I? Everything went down in a matter of minutes. No one knew what hit him. All the generals are frenzied, not about the prisoners they lost, but about Ronan. He returned just long enough to confirm his new conduit status. Oh, and you'll be happy to know the princess has agreed to aid Ronan in his cleansing efforts. 3 cheers. The first part of your plan worked. Let's just hope the next part does as well. Deacon is determined to get in the warehouse and rescue Sloane, Myriad's version of a scarecrow, I guess. I'm not sure how much longer we'll be able to keep him out. But you'll be happier to know we're all fine, and so is the realm. I probably should have led with that, my bad. Stay safe, or I will spank you till you scream for mercy. Not a joke. And I know I don't have to ask you to check on Dior, and keep me updated. Light brings sight. Archer Prince.
Chapter 12. The best treasure is total domination of your enemies. Myriad. 10. I'm either the dumbest girl in all the realms, or the second dumbest. If I'm second dumbest, I feel sorry for the dits ahead of me, because, wow. She's a few clowns short of a circus. Let's be real. If she had a second brain, it would be lonely. Her intellect rivaled only by her garden tools. I armed a boy who practically guaranteed he'll betray me. All because I hope that he won't. Now I'm going to free him. See? Dumb. To achieve my goals, I'm willing to risk everything. So maybe I'm actually a genius. I mean, let's face it. Sometimes the world's definition of foolish is actually wisdom at work. At least Reed is safe, and Kayla apparently. All thanks to Biscuit. And with the princess's help, Ronan is going to cleanse the humans afflicted with penumbra. I don't know the specific plan of action, or what's going on with Deacon and Sloan, the scarecrow. Not going to the warehouse, not helping my former enemy-turned-friend-turned-enemy-turned-friend again is tough. Tougher than tough. A little piece of my heart withers. If anything happens to any of my friends, it will be okay. It will all be okay. What I'm doing for everyone. With a sigh, I pick up Seamus's hand from the floor. The fingers curl inward like claws. Lifeblood is congealed at the tips of disconnected tendons and arteries. Gearing for an attack, I press the thumb against the ID pad on Killian's cage. There's a whoosh as the lock disengages. Then, my husband is free. He stalks toward me, every step measured and precise. He is a predator who's spotted prey. Breathing becomes a little more difficult, the air electrified, crackling with awareness. His scent, peat smoke and heather, forbidden fantasies and midnight rain, as dark and mysterious as the boy himself, goes straight to my head, intoxicating me. I back a step away, then plant my heels into place and still. I'm not weak, and I'm certainly not a coward. I face my problems head on, whatever, whoever they might be. And Killian is a problem. A very beautiful, seductive problem. Until he remembers me, I must resist him. My warhorse. Or rather, Myriad's warhorse. Who will he support in the end? In this, he cannot play both sides. He's with me. We charge ahead together. Loyalty to my realm. Our realm. Passion for Killian. Liberty for all. My pulse points go crazy, hammering at warp speed. My blood burns as hot as fire, becoming a forge that melts the steel in my spine, remaking the bones into a weapon of seduction. I tingle and ache. Finally, he stops, only a whisper away. So close our chests brush together every time one of us inhales. "Are you trying to intimidate me?" I ask, breathing faster. The tingles expand. "Tryin'," he laughs, and the deep, husky notes caress me. "If intimidation were my goal, lass, I'd say mission accomplished." Perhaps he needs a lesson or three about the girl to whom he pledged his eternal future. I slam my fist into his nose once, twice, thrice, and feel the cartilage in my nose shatter. In unison, we howl in pain. "I'll never advocate spousal abuse, but right now, you aren't my husband, are you?" I raise my chin. "You're my enemy." "Wait. Hold up. He called me lass." Suddenly I want to grin. My Killian is in there. He chuckles. "Should've known you would cut off your nose to spite your face." Shiver. His accent is back, and oh, do I love it. "I'll punch you every day for the rest of our lives if it means I get to hear your sexy brogue." In a blink, his good humor is gone. He scowls at me. At least our noses heal. The mana I consumed only minutes ago still rushing through my veins. I reach up, causing Killian to back up a step. But I follow him, determined, and flatten my palms on his chest. His heart is racing in time to mine. Despite his memory loss, he's still affected by my nearness. A cool cascade of relief blends with a sizzle of excitement, but I fight to keep my reactions separate from the grid. I don't want Killian to know how I feel. Let him wonder. Let wonder turn to obsession. Whether he's on board or not, I'm going to help him. Pre-Killian, my life was a mess. My heart nothing but jagged pieces. I was dealing with my parents' abandonment and the fact that they paid Dr. Vans to torture me, all in a desperate bid to force me to sign with Myriad. I mourned the friends I'd lost in the asylum, and struggled to make a viable plan for my future. Killian helped me pick up the pieces of my heart and weld them back together. He made me stronger. Now, I will do the same for him. Resisting him isn't the answer, I realize. No, I've got to help him the way he helped me. I've got to strap on my big girl panties and go for gold. His gold, to be exact. I've got to seduce him, the same way he's seduced me. I'll keep him off balance and guessing, and wanting more. More. Yes. The more he thinks about me, the sooner his memories will return, the sooner he'll trust me. Before we transport out of Troika, I say, my voice as low and husky as I can make it, you're going to kiss me. His breath hitches. Am I then? Because you always get what you want? No. I nibble on my bottom lip and bat my lashes at him. All false innocence and temptation, I hope. Because I'm giving you what you want. Rather than deny my allegation, he stares at my lips, as if they hold the key to his salvation. White-hot desire smolders in his baby blues. I've seen him in battle. I've witnessed his calm, his unwavering relentlessness. Now, he trembles for me. Do you think I'll kiss you, fall in love and forsake my home? He rasps. Been there, done that, my love. Are you afraid you'll fall in love and forsake your home? I expect him to balk, to rant about my daring, or perhaps even feign disinterest. But he croaks, yes, and presses his mouth against mine. Gentle, tender, exploratory. Even still, a startled gasp escapes me. He's kissing me. Killian Flynn is kissing me. He takes full advantage of my astonished delight, tangling his tongue with mine. Another gasp escapes me. He's giving me a glimpse of the bliss to come, teaching me to crave it, to crave more. And I do. Oh, I do. Desire fogs my head. He's as sweet as manna, and as potent as the wine we once shared inside of Prynne. Waves of pleasure roll over me, eroding any resistance I might have harbored. More, I say. Muscled arms wind around me, yanking me closer, mashing my chest against his. I'm breathing his air, and he's breathing mine. Touching him isn't just a want, but a need. I comb my hands through his hair. The strands are butter soft, and seem to melt against my fingers. He's so strong and hard against me. Where he is stone, I am silk, and I can't get enough. We've kissed before, and he's touched me far more intimately. But this is somehow inestimably better. As if he's staking a claim, one he's determined not to forget. As if he's stoking a slow-burning fire with every intention of basking in the ensuing inferno. How he can take my mouth so slowly and make me drunk on him so quickly is a true testament to his skill, or a revelation of the intensity of his desire for me. A low growl rumbles deep in his chest as he jerks his lips from mine and lifts his head, panting. He stares down at me, his eyelids hooded, his irises glittering, wild. His lips are red, slightly swollen. My lips prickle. The things I want to do to you, he tells me, and he sounds drunk. Don't stop. Don't give me time to think. More, I beseech. Please. Oh, I. Once again he descends, but something has changed. The sparks between us have intensified. This time he slams his mouth against mine and thrusts his tongue deep, taking, giving, demanding. Hard hands settle on my backside and knead. This is a full-on sensual attack. Shadows writhe against the grid, agitated by our connection, paining me, and yet, the pain is diluted by the great storm of pleasure reigning inside me. So easily I could lose myself in this moment, forget the trials and tragedies ahead. I could be selfish for once, here, now, with him. I'm happy. We're a family that chooses to be together. But selfishness, even momentarily, could cost other loved ones their lives, and condemn the dead to their hellish eternity in many ends. Somehow, I find the strength to break the kiss, though every cell in my body mourns the loss of him and shouts in protest. All right, I croak, unable to catch my breath. The drugging taste of him lingers, nearly sending me straight back into his arms. We need to go. Now, now, now. The crystalline flecks in his eyes are like raindrops falling from a sunny sky. His hands fist at his sides. Your plan failed. I did not fall in love. Don't trust you fully, and won't betray my home. He doesn't sound certain, and I take heart. The day isn't over. Still trembling, I curl my hand around his shoulder. With my other hand, I type a message to Clementine into my calm. Thankfully, she messages right back to tell me she's ready. A beam of light slams into me and transports me to the cave in Russia. Through my physical connection to Killian, he's caught up in the beam as well and appears beside me. Without the warmth of a blazing fire, the air is frigid. I'm wearing a catsuit, covered from neck to toe, but still I shiver. My gaze seeks the numbers Killian carved into the wall. 68 plus 39 equals love. Now it's your turn, I say. Take us to the Vale of Midnight. And Killian, don't betray me. I'm begging you. You reap what you sow. He flinches, then runs his tongue over his teeth. You don't believe in fate, but you believe in karma. An extension of fate? Ugh, his accent is gone again. Actions equal consequences, and one way or another, in one life or another, we will face the consequences of our actions. That isn't karma, but truth. I pause as he absorbs my words. You want me to believe Troika is perfect. You... I never said Troika is perfect. Where there are people, there are problems. He continues as if I haven't spoken. What about your second king? He is touted as a leader, without flaw, while his brother is touted as a leader without valor. Yet, under Aaron's command, bad things happen, same as they happen under Ambrosine's. Why? Why is the wrong question? Because it makes the assumption Aaron is responsible for all of our deeds. He isn't. We have free will. We alone are responsible for the things we do and say. Bad things happen because people make wrong choices, even good people. Always everything comes back to choice. Mine, Killian's, everyone's. Irritation radiates from him, and I'm not sure if it's directed at himself or me. Then he shocks me, reaching out to frame my face with one beautiful, scarred hand. Do not move. Impossible. How can I not lean into his touch? For too long, physical contact was impossible for us. Now the warmth of his skin tantalizes me. A dream come true. A fantasy made flesh. Tremors overtake me. What is the right question? Hmm? He asks. Easy. What can we do to make things better? He peers at me as if he can't quite decide what to make of me. You are a singular lass. Without disrupting our connection, he uses his other hand to type into his calm. My gaze never strays from his. I'm ensnared, a song of hope and light singing in my veins. Get ready! Even as he speaks, shadows rise from the rocky ground. Then, we're swallowed whole. I lose sight of Killian, of everything. Panic threatens, as bone-chilling cold invades. A cold far worse than the icy wind whistling along the mountain. In a blink, the shadows fall away, leaving us standing inside a home. I hiss at him. This isn't the Vale of Midnight. Where are we? The land of the harvest. This is one of my safe houses. You're welcome, by the way. As recognizable as you are, you need a shell. Otherwise, you'll be captured or gunned down. His gaze roves over me. And you could maybe use a shower. Okay, you could definitely use a shower. I could use one myself. One of his thick black brows arches. Want to conserve water? We're married, after all. Showering together is perfectly acceptable, even encouraged, considering this is our honeymoon. Sweet temptation. He's right. This is our honeymoon. Shivers slip down my spine and spread to every limb. Resist. I'm supposed to seduce Killian, not the other way around. Not yet, anyway. Let's be wild and crazy and splurge for once, I say. My tone as dry as the desert. We'll shower separately. Even though I would be wise to keep this boy in my sight at all times. But then, I've already established I'm a few cards short of a deck. Your loss, he shrugs as if my answer mattered very little to him, though he can't stop the tingle of disappointment that arcs through our bond. To hide a smile, I turn on my heel and study my surroundings. If home is where the heart is, Killian's heart is empty. There's no furniture, only a backpack in the far corner. There are no pictures on the walls, no decorations of any kind. Now I'm the disappointed one. I'd hoped my husband's decor style would teach me more about him and his turbulent past. Learn the past, ensure a better future. True for both of us. Killian stalks forward, leading me down a hallway through the master bedroom, as empty as the rest of the house, and into a bathroom. Where are we exactly? I ask. Oklahoma City. And no one cares that the owner of this house is never home? It's a ranch house on 30 acres of land. No one notices. He fishes a yellow towel out of the cabinet and tosses it my way. When you're done, a new shell will be waiting in the bedroom. He moves to the door, hand curled around the knob. Wait! What if he returns to Troika while I'm distracted? Or messages his leader and I emerge soaking wet to find the house overrun with MLs, determined to capture me? Urgh! I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb. I've changed my mind. We're showering together. He turns so fast, he might have whiplash in the morning. The crystalline flecks in his eyes flare with light as he shakes his head. I think I misheard. Did you say you had changed your mind? And we're back. I melt like butter. I did. Soon we'll be rushing headlong into danger. Why not enjoy the moment? Wetting my lips, trembling with nervousness, I drop the towel and remove my cat suit. Head high, I stand before Killian in nothing but my bra and panties. A matching set, black, and just about as sexy as... Zero. I can't think of a decent comparison. The circuits in my brain are fraying, connections misfiring. Despite the plainness of my undergarments, his gaze heats as it slides over me, and I begin to tremble for an entirely different reason. Your turn, I croak. You got two more pieces to remove. No, oh no. What little resistance I have, well, it will crumble. Our underwear stays on. Motion's clipped rather than smooth. He strips down to his underwear and the wrist cuffs. I'm utterly mesmerized. Every cut of muscle, every tattoo. Now that I know what the images mean, the treasures he's hidden throughout his realm, the people he misses, they are even more beautiful to me. I reach for the knobs in the stall blindly. There. Twist. Water sprays from the spout. Soon, steam fills the room, creating a warm, dreamlike haze. As Killian approaches, my tremors intensify. His hand brushes mine, and I jolt. My breaths go shallow. You're in control, yeah? He says. We do nothing you don't want to do. I nod. He twines his fingers with mine and pulls me into the stall. The hot cascade of water rains over me, soaking my hair, my skin. Going to clean you up now. He shampoos and conditions my hair, then picks up a bar of soap and lathers me up, his fingers traversing every inch of me, even beneath my undergarments. Such an intimate act. Or am I making your thoughts dirtier? Lass? You are. I'm aching and quaking, reduced to sizzling need. But I will resist until you remember me. I remember what you taste like. Heaven. Shivering, I take the soap to return the favor, driving him wild. Our first time, my first time with anyone, will be a memory I relive again and again for the rest of my second life. I have enough regrets, and I don't want this to be one of them. don't want to be vulnerable with a boy I can't trust. I want to give myself to a boy I love, and who knows he loves me. His muscles tense under my hands. My gaze chases, the bubbles sliding over his skin, and I lick my lips. Temptation made flesh. Stay strong. He cups my jaw, and I lean into his touch. I think you like being the giver as much as the receiver, lass. He sounds surprised. Why wouldn't I? Your body is a work of art, a true masterpiece. Water droplets catch in his eyelashes as he smiles. Wet is a good look for you, lass. Strike that. Everything is a good look for you. Irresistible boy. I lift my lips to press against. What are you doing? Stop! I can't kiss him a second time. I won't be able to stop again. Look how little control I have right now. We're clean, I say, my tone harder than I intend. Bending down, he nuzzles his cheek against mine and runs his hands down my sides to clasp my hips. Yeah, but my thoughts are still dirty. A grin blooms. Charming boy. I'm getting away from you before I decide to spend the rest of my life in bed with you. I know what gets my vote. Laughing, I hop out of the shower and scoop up the towel. Killian exits soon after, drops his soaked underwear and grabs a towel from the cabinet. I catch a glimpse of his perfect butt before he anchors the white cotton around his waist. He casts me an odd look before he stalks into the master bedroom. I follow just in time to watch him disappear inside the closet. Killian? I'm dressing. You're welcome to watch if you'd like. His accent is gone again. Not a good sign. I probably should watch him. I mean, just to keep tabs on him. Got to protect myself and all that. Just as I step forward, he exits, fully dressed in a t-shirt and jeans. Disappointment flares. He tosses a handful of garments my way, including a new bra and panty set, in neon pink. The tags are still in place, but my shadows do not care. They spring from hiding to prick me with jealousy. This is why I don't want to be with him until he remembers me. You keep lingerie in your safe house? I ask, one brow arched. In my size. I keep lingerie in all sizes. Ugh, the accent is still gone. Why? The same reason he has top-of-the-line conditioner in his shower, most likely. And I doubt it has anything to do with a dislike for split ends. Better question. Why not? I recruit women. Women like presents. I like women. For some reason, he won't meet my eyes, and his cheeks are flushed. What's going on? He's not embarrassed. Or is he? You used to like women, I grumble. Now you like me. And you're not a woman? I've talked myself into a trap and I know it. I'm a woman, yes, but I'm yours. He casts me another one of those odd looks, and I have no idea what it means. There's something almost vulnerable about him. My Killian is never vulnerable. Is he? Silent, he heads down the hall. I hang back, exchanging one set of undergarments for another. Then don the rest of the clothing. A tight white t-shirt and equally tight leather pants. As soon as I'm decent, I comb my fingers through my hair and trail his wet footprints to a room on the other side of the house, where at least 20 shells peer at me through empty eye sockets. He motions to a female with shoulder-length white hair and black brows. A silver hoop pierces her bottom lip, and the Myriadian symbol is tattooed on her neck. A black tank top molds to her very large chest, and a pair of short shorts displays the long length of her legs. Combat boots complete the outfit. Prick, prick. Why do you keep female shells here? And don't tell me they're gifts, because you can't give the humans you hope to recruit a shell that is intended for a spirit. Who said the gifts are always for humans? Right. Prick. He pops his jaw and says, just so you know, I've never brought a woman or girl or lover to this house, human, spirit, or otherwise. I've never brought anyone here. Not even Erica, the former lover who'd given him his tattoos. You used to work with her, among other things, I remember. But she and I were never exclusive. How wonderful. He remembers Erica, but not me. As your flanker, she chronicled your successes. Also my failures. And yes, there were a few. There's a note of bitterness in his tone. Am I one of those failures he regrets? Victors are adored. Failures are abhorred. Right? A motto he's chanted on more than one occasion. He frowns but nods. All right, enough chit-chat. We've got work to do. Which shell will you be using? He points to a short red-headed boy with freckles, and a laugh bursts from me. My shell could eat his shell for dinner. We're going to make an odd pair. We'll stand out, big time. At least I think. Maybe all couples are mismatched in myriad. I've used the other shells. These are the only two not associated with me. I'd give you the shorter male, but your walk is too feminine. I snort. If that's your idea of an insult... At worst, it's a simple statement of fact. At best, it's a beautiful compliment. Then we're going to have a good life together. Once you remember me, that is. He laughs but sobers quickly. Somehow you always manage to surprise me. Doesn't like that I can make light of our bonding, too. Good. So no one will know it's you and me inside the shells? Exactly. Are you sure? In Troika, leaders keep a log of every shell. They know who owns each and every one. So do the leaders in Myriad. But I made these, so there's no record of them anywhere. He made them? Hidden talent alert. Guess I should have known, though. He's a creative soul. He made my pie necklace after all. There are voice modulators in their throats, so even our voices will be disguised. What about our eyes? Every shell has empty sockets. Anyone who looks at me will see my unique mismatched gaze. And anyone who looks at him will see those crystalline flecks. We'll wear sunglasses. In the dark? He shrugs. We'll set a new fashion trend. Or bring back an old fashion trend. Very well. I step into my shell. I had to practice for days to learn how to anchor. And now I do it with ease. Just boom. I'm part of the shell and the shell is part of me. The movement of my spirit directs the movement of the shell. This shell has gun wells. Shells for weapons, meaning I can go in armed. His shell has wells too, even for his wrist cuffs. Do people walk around armed in Myriad? I ask, as Killian straps a gun on either side of my hips. Some of them. Most of them. Killian enters his shell, anchoring just as easily, then holds out his hand. The moment has come. One of the reasons I agreed to bond with him. To enter Myriad. After all the hardships we've endured, putting everyone we love at risk. Was it worth it? We'll find out. Killian takes my hand, yanks me against him, and presses a kiss into my lips. Do not leave my side, he says. I won't. A second later, he transports us to the Vale of Midnight.
Myriad. From K_F_5/23.53.6 to Z_C_4/23.43.2. Subject. I have the package. We're on our way. Give me a day, just a day, to show the girl our world. I can convince her to help us. I know I can. Just as I know that whatever you have planned for her will fail. She's too stubborn. Torture won't break her. But I can. Let me do this. Ambergine will thank us both. So, here's the plan. I'll bring Tenley inside, and you'll give her a chance to fall in love with Myriad. If I fail, I won't fail. I'll return to Troika and personally end their generals. War over that easily. Face it, I'm bonded to her. If you hurt or kill her, you hurt or kill me too, and I'm the only one capable of getting inside Troika. You need me inside Troika. Betray me and lose the war. Your choice. Might equals right. Killian Flynn. P.S. I want Erica Morales released from the kennels by the end of the day. Myriad. From z_c_4/23.43.2. 2k_f_5/23.53.6. Subject. Of course. I'll have one of my men follow you just in case you need backup. Take the time you need. You are a valuable member of our team. Once you've won over Miss Lockwood, we can visit the kennels to free Miss Morales. Might equals right. Sir Ji Chen. Myriad. From z_c_4/23.43.2 to v_p_5/20.16.18. Subject. It's almost time. Mr. Prince, you'll be pleased to learn I've received another message from Mr. Flynn. He's bringing Miss Lockwood into Myriad today. You are to follow the couple in an unrecognizable shell and stay out of sight. Understand? I don't want Miss Lockwood to recognize you. Honestly, I don't want Killian to recognize you. He wants his former flanker, Erica Morales, released from the kennels. Problem is, we executed her yesterday morning. I told him we'd do what he wanted, so if you do end up in his crosshairs, continue the ruse. He believes we're giving him time to convince Miss Lockwood to join our cause. In reality, we need time to test the limits of her light and the strength of our shadows. The end justifies the means. You'll have your revenge soon enough. Might equals right, Sir Ji Chen.
Chapter 13. Our light loses nothing when it is shared. Quite the opposite. New lights shine. The world grows brighter. Troika. 10. I stand before the infamous Veil of Midnight, amazed. I'm used to the Veil of Wings, a mountain of a wall with a very small doorway. This one has no wall or doorway. The endless expanse offers a shower of ebony... water? No, it can't be. As citizens come and go, no one gets wet. Whatever the substance, it glitters with starlight as it flows from a sky of black velvet. My mother and father are inside. So are Dior and Javier. Erica. My friend Marlowe. Perhaps my Aunt Lena. Many Ends is inside. Which means Caroline, Killian's mother, is inside as well, ever since her second death. Nervous? Killian asks. I hate fear with the heat of a thousand suns, but... yes. Don't be. I'll protect you the way you protected me. I take no comfort from his words. Ever since our shower, he's been distant. I've begun to wonder if he messaged his boss while he was in the closet. Guilt has appeared in our bond more than once. But let's say he's telling the truth right now. Did I protect him? On my watch, he was dazed and locked away. So, I kind of expect an army to be waiting for me the moment I exit this veil. A group of giggling girls races past us, vanishing under the veil, paying us no heed. No one acts as if Myriad's enemy, number one, is nearby. Another comforting thought. Aeron is on my side, helping me, even though I can't see him or feel him. Feelings mean nothing right now. What's more, if Killian plans to betray me, Aunt Lena would have warned me. Right? She's warned me about almost every other disaster in my life. Aunt Lena, my heart rate increases. She plans to kill Killian. Maybe. Probably. One of her past visions might just support her claim. The song she taught me as a child. 10's tears fall, and I call. 900 trees, but only one is for me. 8 times 8 times 8 they fly. Whatever you do, don't stay dry. 7 ladies dancing, ignore their sweet romancing. 6 seconds to hide, up, up, and you'll survive. 5 times 4 times 3, and that is where he'll be. 2 I'll save. I'll be brave, brave, brave. The one I adore, I'll come back for. My mind locks on the last line. The one I adore, I'll come back for. I haven't yet come back for Killian. Until today. My shoulders stoop. I'm back in Myriad. For him. For us. for everyone. What if Lena does manage to kill him? If I'm right, and slain Myriadian spirits go to many ends, Killian could maybe possibly probably wind up in many ends. Does his final destination depend on which realm he most identifies with? His location? Cold sweat beads on the back of my neck, but I pay it no heed. I used the song to navigate the sub-realm once, and I can do it again. Whatever happens, I can save him. Ready? Killian asks. Am I? Wait! I close my eyes to search the grid. Shadows still writhe, stronger now, and light still glows, but it's duller by the second. I'm tempted to use the light I've stored. I'm dangerously low, weakened, and light is my strength. But I resist. Before the bond, I could draw more light to me whenever I wanted. Now, surrounded by darkness, I'll have nothing and no one to draw from. Right now, I'm going to keep my reserves on reserve, and trust that Killian has our best interests at heart, if not at mind. All right. Yes, I say. Let's do this. He takes my hand in his, the bones in his shell smaller than I'm used to, while mine are larger. But his eyes, those eyes, they are the same as always. 8 flecks, a song, oxygen, the reason I breathe. Loyalty to Killian, passion for Killian, liberty for us all. How much stronger will we be when we are genuinely united? He marches forward, determination in every step. I square my shoulders and follow on his heels, drawing closer and closer to the veil of midnight. My heart is a drum, and the beat is pure rock and roll. Soon there will be no turning back. For over a year and a half, I fought to avoid Myriad, enduring torture at the hands of Dr. Vans. Now I'm willingly walking inside. Liberty for us all. Finally, we reach the fall of darkness, and I inhale a sharp breath between my teeth. Icy cold encompasses me, making me feel as if I've jumped headfirst into a bank of snow. Next, different sensations invade. An increase of fear, certainty I will fail, and everyone I love will die. All die. The exact opposite of what I used to feel under the veil of wings. Then I'm stepping out of the darkness and into deeper darkness. But it doesn't matter. Suddenly, I can see in the dark. I have freaking night vision, and it's kind of awesome. As Myriad greets me, my mind goes quiet, eerily quiet. The grid no longer hums with approval, or anything. Too many shadows cover it. More shadows than before. I'm comforted only by the knowledge that several of my rooms still brim with light. I'm sweating now, panting. But okay, all right. At least I'm alive. I'm standing on a cliff that overlooks... Wow. Just wow. The bustling city looks like a king's treasure chest. Buildings are made from precious gems. Diamonds, emeralds, rubies, and sapphires. Moonstone, morganite, opal, garnet, topaz. Crystal of every color. Amethyst, aquamarine, citrine, pearls and peridot. Maybe even coral. Absolutely breathtaking. In the distance, there's a towering fortress surrounded by a wall made entirely of skulls. Giant spiders climb those walls. Dragons fly overhead. I count 1, 5, 10, 20, 30. They spew fire, burning the clouds and lighting up the sky. This is every gothic lover's wet dream. Or sweetest nightmare. I breathe deeply, taking in the sense of night rain, mysteries and carnal fantasies. If those things had sense. Heady, almost drugging. Definitely drugging. My head swims. Close by, a cobblestone path winds around a wealth of buildings. Some are sleek and sophisticated. Others are lavish and ornate. Some stretch so high that they knife through the sky. Or rather the veil. The veil of midnight circles the entire realm. In Troika, flower petals fall. Here, it's... stardust? I stretch out my hand to capture a few grains. but they absorb into my shell and brush against my spirit. A sudden burst of cold leaves me shivering, and the sensation is not pleasant. To distract myself, I study the flashing neon